The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. My name is Becky Sherwood. And this is the Becky Sherwood program. Thanks for being here. Becky is not feeling well, so I'm filling in for her. My name is Ron Van Dam. Thank you so much for being here. Every weekday I do a podcast and also broadcast radio syndication thing. You can find me on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com or on any of the major platforms, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Apple Podcast, Audacity, iTunes, TuneIn, Don't Tune In, SoundCloud, Big Cloud, every one of those things. Just Google my name, Ron Van Dam, and either it'll be me or that professional wrestler. And that's pretty much it. So have a nice day. Thanks for doing this. I'm making the show kind of short. Just wanted to tell you who I was. Goodbye, everybody. I guess that's not the way this works. So let's spend half an hour together, shall we? You've already killed about a minute and a half, so this is going really well as far as I'm concerned. All right. I'll be honest with you, I live in the surrounding town of where you might be watching this, and I'm going to be very specific. I don't like to be specific on this program, but I'm going to do it anyway because I can. Town hall in the town of Easton is on a street called Elm Street, I do believe, if I have my notes correct. Let me just double check. Yes, it's Elm Street. And there is no traffic light at the intersection of Elm Street and Route 138. Now, here's the problem. At every other intersection of consequence, they've put in a traffic light on 138. It's the main road going through the town. And then, you got your Bay Road, but, that's just houses. This is commercial on 138. It's surprising to me that the actual selectmen, or what do you call those people? You select them. They actually go in and out. People work at town hall, go in and out. They go up to Route 138 all the time. Have you not noticed that it's incredibly dangerous at that intersection? Not only is there traffic unrelenting on 138, but also it's across, you go across 138 and continue on into, the same road. But it's not directly there. It's like, here it is, then there's 138, and you kind of move a little bit, and then the road continues. It's a juxtaposition street. It's not straight across. That wouldn't make it any safer for it to be straight across. But I'm just saying, you have to just... You have to have your head together so much to maneuver that intersection. And every time I do that, because it's on the way to the studio here for me, I take my life in my hands. It's just, am I going to make it through? Is somebody going to slow down? Oh, my God. It's treacherous. It's an accident waiting to happen. And I know... In the town jargon, an accident waiting to happen is not good enough. You have to have a lot of accidents that have happened. And of course, that's no way to be humane. What I'm saying, without using a pulpit, because I'm sitting down, put a damn traffic light in there, will you please? Or at least a flashing red or yellow or something, but a traffic light, come on, seriously. I know it takes time to get that done. They have to be constructed. They're expensive. But if you're talking about the safety of the public, at just about every major intersection in the town of Easton, there's a traffic light where, it's pretty good. Not too many, not too little. But that intersection is crying for it. That's all I want to say. I don't know who's listening. I'm just telling you, let's not wait for something horrendously horrible to occur. It may have already occurred, and I'm not familiar with it. But please put a traffic light in there because it's the road to Town Hall. Seriously? All right. Thank you for listening to that. Also, as I've said many times in this program, COVID is over. It was significant, no question. But now we're not doing that anymore. Let's get back to the food tasting celebrations or the outdoor food truck celebrations or something like that. There are a lot of outdoor activities during the spring and summer in the town of Easton. That's nice. You've taken care of that really, really well. As a matter of fact, kudos on that. But there are a lot of restaurants here that want the public to come down, taste their stuff. And that's the best way to do it. You can make some money for charities. Businesses have tables and booths, and it's a good way for the community to get out and see each other for a change in the guise of eating food, what could be more of a way of getting people together. Food tasting, let's do it. Come on, organize it. There's no reason why you're not. You know there's no reason why you're not. Just do it and do it fast. Okay, I guess that's it for now. Well, I've got other things, but we'll leave it like that for now. I know that on the table in the town of Easton is you have to do affordable housing. Otherwise, the state of Massachusetts will not only cut off your funding, but they'll sue your pants off. So, I mean, oh, okay. So, all right, you got to do some affordable housing. It's actually a good quantity. When you do it, your infrastructure has got to change. Look, the most important thing to the human beings that live in any given town is their safety in every regard. Safety here, safety there, safety to live their lives, to have their children, not have to worry about dangerous situations, or you worry about just getting in your car and going down an intersection and have some schmuck change your life. I mean, the safety is most important. The roads have to be very, very safe. And the larger influx of people you have, the more traffic you have. I'm going to tell you a quick story, and I'm not putting anybody down, but I tend to be very honest about this stuff. West Bridgewater. I don't know if you're familiar with that town. It's over there. They have one street that goes through the center of their town of West Bridgewater. It's Route 106. It's probably the most congested, ridiculous street I've ever seen in my life. It's one lane all the way. And you just better pay attention when you're driving down that road. You better pay attention. And God forbid you live in a neighborhood off of that road. There are no traffic lights there at all for those turns. The most congested area is from Route 24 to that Market Basket. That stretch of 106 is one of the most dangerous roads I've ever seen. It's if you live in any neighborhood off of that road, especially during, between that small section that I just indicated, you'll never get out of your neighborhood. You'll never get out. It's unrelenting traffic. I would never live in West Bridgewater because of that, because I would fear for the safety of my loved ones in a driving situation. I'm not putting the town down. I love the town, as a matter of fact. I do a lot of stuff there, do a lot of business there. But when I do, it's like, my God, this is like, the traffic is absurd. And that's the way it's turning out to be in many towns and cities. As you know, Boston traffic is the fourth worst in the entire country. At times it was the worst or at least second worst, so I guess we're getting better, but that doesn't say much really. You try to get from point A to point B, you'll get there. It's just a question of when and if you'll ever make it safely. I go to a lot of theater in Boston, a lot of legitimate theater, or it's illegitimate, Broadway play kind of things that go on in Boston, and If the curtain's at 2 o'clock, a 2 o'clock matinee, I literally have to leave my house 2 hours ahead of time. I might get there very, very early, or I might just get there in time. There is no way to tell. It's absurd. Anyway, Thanks for listening to me complain. Now I'll listen to your complaints. Oh, really? Uh-huh. Well, look, say a little louder. I can't hear you. I have the headsets on. What? No, go on. Complain. It's okay. I can hear you. If you have Comcast, that little box, you know, that has a camera in it and a microphone. I can hear everything you're saying all day. So feel free. Feel free to speak. Uh-huh. Oh, you're kidding. Oh, you're serious? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. You should do something about that. Yeah, call them and tell them. You better. Yeah. Let them know. You pay taxes. Let them know. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks. All right. There are quite a few things I wanted to talk about today, but I'm really not in the mood, so I don't know. If Becky were here, she would talk about them. Yesterday, I went to one of those outdoor malls. I like to walk. I think walking is the best exercise possible. Why am I sitting like this? You're over there. Why am I talking to you over here? It's an outdoor mall. I went up to the Legacy Place there in Dedham. And beautiful stores, really nicely laid out. I love it. I just love walking around there. You know, I watch the people, watch the stores, I watch things. Well, I'm walking there, and there was a big store, beautiful store, and it said it was the Apple Store. So I figured, okay, it's the spring. I'm going to buy some fruit. They probably have in this store apples, all different types, probably Macintosh, Red Delicious, and stupid name for an apple, isn't it? You like that apple? It's delicious. That's a good name for it. What about the Macintosh? It's not delicious. There's all different names. There's Macoon or I don't know. All different kinds of apples. And I thought, well, this is a store just for apples? Wow. I guess it makes sense because they have a store just for staples. So a store just for apples, this could be exciting. So I go in there and immediately there's two guys, there's two guards. You know, there's no guns or anything, but they have flashlights and maybe a pocket knife and, you know, ooh. So I walk in and I thought, okay, this is serious stuff here. They're guarding the apples. I mean, this is wow. I've never seen this in a fruit store before. So I walk in, and then I look around. It's very brightly lit. It's like a store from the future. But I didn't see any apples. What I did see was just a lot of cell phone displays. These tables with cell phones on them. And some tablets. Some tablets. And some laptops. But I didn't see any fruit. And then it struck me, oh, Apple, that's the brand of the technology. Oh, I get it now. Stupid me. So I stood there because I felt like I was in a foreign country. I just didn't understand where I was or what I was doing there. But I was lured into the store simply by the aroma of the apples. But I looked at the people that were in the Apple Store. Now, I don't know if you have an iPhone or not. There are two kinds of people. There's Republican, Democrat. There's iPhone, Android. It's just the way it is. So I'm in there, and I start staring at the people. And I noticed that they all had one thing in common. They looked scary. They looked odd. Everybody in the Apple Store looked like they were there because they were hypnotized to go there. It's like someone had brainwashed them and their minds were sucked out of their heads, but they ended up in this store. And if you looked into the eyes of any of the Apple customers, they looked kind of like empty, like someone had drained their brain through their eye sockets or something. They were so focused on the product, the iPhones and the tablets. They were their they're so focused. It was scary. I get scared when people are too focused into something. It's like, oh, hello, hello, oh, hello, and they don't even hear you. These people were just locked into this product like they were one. Like they had become the product and the product had become them. And that was scary to see, but fascinating nonetheless. It's like their brains were replaced. So anyway, I got the hell out of there quickly. I got to tell you, I know I look very, very young to you. But I, at home, I have the Comcast bundle. And I don't say that out loud because it's embarrassing. I mean, you still have the Comcast bundle? How old are you? You know, so, yeah, it turns out like that. Don't you have streaming services? Yeah, I have two. I can't afford all of them at once. What are you, crazy? So anyway, so I get the internet and I get the cell phone thing, you know, and no, I don't get the cell phone thing. Sorry, I just get the internet and I get the TV and they throw in a telephone as well, a landline. I have a landline. And I don't know why they call it that. It's a telephone that's plugged into the wall. Even if it's a wireless hands-free phone, and you still have to use your hands, or one of those things, you know, you can walk around, you can sit on the toilet and talk to them, but you still have to hang it up on the base, which is connected to the wall. So it's a landline. I know some of you watching this show, you kids today, you don't know what I'm talking about. And obviously, neither do I. But I have a landline. And it's weird to have one because not everybody does anymore. It's not like I have a phone booth in my house or anything. I have a landline that's a regular telephone connected to the wall. Comcast gives it to me, I believe, for free. If not, they should. It's a landline. Which is an odd thing. It's like I live on a boat, and when I get back to shore, I can use the landline phone. It's just so stupid. It's like I'm on an ocean liner or something, or I'm on a fishing trawl, and I will call the family when I get to land, and I will use the landline, but right now I cannot use the landline. As soon as I dock and reach the shores, I will tell everybody that I have arrived to land. I see land. I see a landline phone. Unbelievable. Most of the people I know don't have a landline phone anymore. They just have a cell phone and they use that for everything. I don't. I mean, I have a cell phone, but I don't use the landline much at all. You know what the landline is for in a house? To receive the scam calls, the robocalls. That's the only reason they have it still. When you give somebody, what's your phone number? You don't give them the phone number in your house anymore. You give them your cell phone number. Unless you don't use your cell phone much, then you give them your house number. House number? No. Landline! I see landline. I am an old salt of the sea, but when I reach the shores of freedom, I use my land. I will crank the phone and call you on the landline. All right, that's enough. Because I am a tad older than many. When I first had a cell phone, I had a great cell phone. It was the Samsung Note 4, I think it was. I don't really remember the number. But it was a big freaking cell phone. This is the size of the cell phone I have now. It's black, so I don't know if you can see it. But, okay, that's too small for me. I don't care for that. I don't care. They used to make it where the screen was like, it was like big. It was small enough so I could still fit it in my pocket. Women could fit it in their pocketbooks and their purses. If you had a large bra size, you could fit it in your bra. And it worked for just about everybody, but the display was large. And if I'm going to stare at something that's going to give me information, or I'm going to play a game, or just use the screen in some way, it needs to be bigger. I'm tired of having to squint. I'm spending my whole life squinting. Many pictures of me, taken by cell phone, by the way, show me squinting, like I'm in direct sun, like I'm trying to watch a solar eclipse for some reason. And I don't squint normally, but my eyes now have been trained to squint. What a stupid word it is, too. Squint. Well, who made up a word like that? It's a stupid sound. So I say, just as I say to the town officials of Easton about traffic, I say to the cell phone companies who watch the show continually, make the cell phones larger. You'd be surprised how many people would love that. They would love it. A cross between a tablet that you can fit in your pocket, that's where we should be going. I know a lot of people, not personally because I don't want to, but I see a lot of people, and half of them are wearing glasses. And the other half probably have contacts, and I don't even know if they're wearing contacts. So, yeah, there's a lot of people squinting. And squinting is not good. It's bad for you. You spend all of your day at some computer job staring at a screen all day. If you're a kid, you're staring at a screen all day, probably playing your little video games, you know, trying to maneuver a little characters on the screen to kill each other. I don't understand. But we're all always looking at TV. We're looking at this all the time. When we have nothing to do, we just look at this. It's got to be bigger. Don't you understand? If you're stuck with looking at things all the time, at least make it bigger so that you're not squinting. Someday, you kids, you generation of kids, you're going to grow older and you're going to find out, oh, I screwed myself up when I was younger. And now there's no turning back. You'll find that out. Increase the screen size. One of these cell phone company things, increase the screen size. Now, here's the most ironic part of that whole thing. Looks like I'm going to be talking about this for the whole show. I didn't plan to do that, but there's so much here. When I was younger, there were cartoon shows. There was the Jetsons. Most of you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It was a cartoon, George and Judy Jetson. They were the parents, their boy Elroy and their dog Astro. And in the cartoon, it was set up in the future. Future hadn't arrived when this cartoon was on back in the 60s. And, they had flying cars. And then you see in the movies Back to the Future with the flying DeLorean. Sounds like an acrobatic act in Cirque du Soleil, doesn't it? And now, ladies and gentlemen, in the center ring, the flying DeLoreans, ladies and gentlemen. Cars can't fly, and they shouldn't, because we screw it up on the road as it is. Can you imagine a traffic jam in the sky? Or what if you had a flying car crash? You don't pull over to the side of the road, you plummet to your death. Flying cars, I don't think any of us are going to see that. And I don't think we should. Then there's the Roomba vacuum cleaner. That actually came to pass. These little robot things that clean your rug or your floor. They charge overnight, and then the vacuum robots it's a little disc, and it cleans your house for you. Noise the hell out of your dog, but it cleans your house. I don't quite understand that invention because it's a round disc. Last time I looked, all of my rooms had corners, so I don't know how that works. I did learn when I was younger, you don't fit a round peg into a square hole or vice versa. I don't know the phrase, but I think you know what I'm talking about. But apparently when they came up with this Roomba vacuum cleaner, they didn't understand that particular theory. But there was one invention that did occur, or they knew would occur, that actually became real. And we have this invention right now. There was a comic strip way back in the 40s, I believe. And the comic strip was Dick Tracy. Now again, younger kids watching the show say, what planet are you from? What are you talking about? Okay. Dick Tracy was a detective, had a very large chin, impeccably dressed with a big fedora hat. Chin was incredible. But he was a detective, and it was Dick Tracy. He had a watch, a wristwatch, and he used it as a phone. Hello, Bob. Yes, I'm here with the body. Send over the coroner. Whatever. He talked to his wrist. And I remember back in those days, we all thought, well, that'll never happen. Holy crap, it did. It's called the Apple Watch. And I have some friends, or at least good acquaintances, who have the Apple Watch, and they squint. Because you think you can't see anything on this? Try on this. It's just absurd. So that's an invention that actually came to pass, which I guess kind of shouldn't, because it doesn't make any sense. Now, the Apple Watch does, it tells you the time, and, you know, you have to look at that anyway, and time's always very small on a wrist. But and it'll give you messages. I can't read that. I can't read that. It'll do that, and you can talk to people. I guess. I don't know. I don't have an Apple Watch. I was in the Apple store again, but no Apples. But I guess they had Apple Watches I didn't see. So technology is kind of interesting. I've said that on this program quite a few times, that technology can be grand, but it also, at the same time, for every great aspect of a technological breakthrough, there is an aspect that is destructively dangerous. For everything. And it always proves out that when we technologically come up with something amazing, that we completely disregard what could go wrong with it. And then someday, eventually, things start going wrong with it, and somebody, the evil people of this planet, and there are quite a few now, they take this good thing and they turn it into a weapon against us. The very thing that we created for goodness, evil people turn it around and use it for evil successfully. In just about every case. I block as many calls on this thing as I do not. Scam calls, spam calls, all those things. You have to block them, otherwise you'll go nuts. I think I do more than I do of actually accepting. And that's an example of a good idea, now a nightmare. And now, of course, Congress is stuck with legislating things. AI, artificial intelligence. I didn't think there was any intelligence that wasn't there isn't any. Incredible. It's starting to be used to destroy us already, to scam us in a better way, in a more efficient manner, copying our voices and making us buy things that we didn't buy. All kinds of problems with that. Nuclear energy, well, that was wonderful. But then, where do we put the waste from it? Didn't think about that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time because I've talked too much. I'll be back again next week with a brand new episode. In the meantime, you can find me on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com and on all platforms, The Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you so much for your time. I wish you peace.